Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
That podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear those co-hosts shouting, it's Dana and Jay.
You know, it's Jay, we talked about it last time on the podcast, when it feels like you were just coming out of a Sunday game day, that just it's just natural for us to trot out the lunch live room here for everybody to come on in and hang out. So here we are. How did the root canal consult go? You know, everyone's on pins and needles about this.
Well, it went as expected. I do need a root canal. So the Monday before the NFL draft, I will be in there bright and early at 7:45 and hopefully be pain-free after that.
You know what? Yeah. This past weekend might have felt like a root canal for some fans who were feeling the angst as Lyle Collins was here, and then maybe he was not going to be here. Then he was at the Kenwood Mall, and now he's eating at Sparrow. And where's he going to the precinct? Is he at Joe Burrow's house for a sleepover? Like, it's just, you know, he ends up in Cincinnati on a three-year deal, technically, looks like a void year in there. Adam Schefter had the terms of essentially 2 years, 20. It's really the same contract he had in Dallas. I mean, it's really the same type of thing, about 10 mil per year. So a good deal, you know, comparatively, when you look at the right tackle market, you know, the top five right tackles as far as highest paid, Ryan Ramczyk, Brian O'Neill, Lane Johnson, Braden Smith, Taylor Moten, all up between 17 and 19 per year and all up with guarantees up over in the 43, 42, 55, 60 guaranteed. And you have 2 years, 20 of a guy who's basically, you know, you think could be right at that tier, or at least at the bottom or the top of the next tier, however you view it. It ends up being, by all accounts, a great deal for the Bengals to sign with Collins.
Yeah, I mean, those were the two unknowns where if they to wait and not make the trade, it was, first of all, what's it going to cost you to give up to get him if you want to make a trade? And then the other one was, if you don't make the trade, well, then what's the market for him going to be? Would it be cheaper to make the trade and undertake that current contract as opposed to the unknown of what's this exploding market? What's it going to cost to land the guy? And the Bengals win on both counts. They don't have to give anything up, and they end up paying essentially what they would have paid salary wise had they made the trade for him. I mean, this really could not have worked out any better for the organization.
Not just this weekend, but the whole week.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I mean, everything, as you talk about gone to plan, I mean, you checked most every box. I mean, there's obviously some still left out there that you're going to do work on and try to, you know, spend this week crossing some T's, dotting some I's, you know, all that type of stuff, some lowercase J's, and try to get as many of those depth pieces and smaller things done. But, you know, the big things you had to do, they did it swiftly. And I think, you know, really, if you would have told them at the beginning of the week, this is how it's going to play out, you know, they would have said, this is perfect. I can't believe we got basically everything that they would have wanted. So let's, you know, you've heard us talk about this. There's so much that's gone on. It's been hard to even get to everything as we've gone through. I've got a story up now that's kind of just some takeaways plus thoughts on the Collins thing. We'll have a lot more on that as the week goes on. You know, there's plenty coming up on the site, so keep an eye out for that. But I know you guys have questions, so let's just dive in. Reminder, if you want to ask a question, just hop up on the stage, request to speak, and we'll pull you up on stage. And you may need to remember to unmute your line when we do pull you up on stage. So if you feel like you're talking and we're not hearing you, just check that you're not on mute, and we'll go from there. And so, and if we have any problems with that, we can always go to the chat. But things have been great with this thing lately, so we're really excited to hear what you guys have to say. So let's start. Questions. Let's go. I'll bring John N. right off the top up onto the stage. John, how are you doing?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
Sure. Yes. Can. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? I love the coverage. You guys do a great job for The Athletic, and I just wanted to commend you two for the amazing work you guys put in this year.
Thanks.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem. So I really feel like what we've done in free agency has opened up the entire draft, not only in the first round, but throughout. And I kind of made a Twitter post earlier kind of saying I could see a scenario where the Bengals don't even go offensive line in the first four rounds. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
That's a great observation. I'll tell you, sneak peek, because you know, I love all you folks that come into these rooms. You know, I've kind of finished up or in the process of finishing up mock draft 1.0. This might be the latest ever. What are we at? March 21st. thing. So excited to say that that's, you know, I'm on round four right now, and I don't have one. I don't see it as a place that they have to go early. I think they're truly in a best player available at 31 with a lean towards corner. You know, I mean, I think if there's going to be, you know, if all things are equal or it's kind of close, they're going to take the corner. They would love to plant corner in the future in there. Because that's really is kind of a wide open, really important spot that you see, you know, it's just such a premium position. If you like, can get it, but I don't think anybody would be freaking out if they went through the first three, four rounds and didn't take an offensive lineman because they have other needs. I mean, I said this, and I think it stands even clearer today. This was going to be about veteran, proven free agency taking care of your offense for once, as they've done the opposite the last couple of years, and now starting the plan of the next generation of your defense. I think you're going to see this draft be defense heavy in the early rounds as they try to cultivate the next level there. Doesn't mean if Tyler Linderbaum falls to 31 or they fall in love with Zion Johnson or whatever, that they wouldn't pull that trigger. Absolutely they would, but they're so wide open now, they absolutely don't have to. It's just another position that's sort of out there for them to consider.
Do you think wide receiver is a strong possibility in round two, or do you think they'll push that further down the list?
I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I think two would be too early, even three maybe. I think that's more of a, because it is such a deep class, I think that feels more like a maybe a double up on
the only reason I asked was because I think we've all seen what Jacksonville did and kind of screwed the entire wide receiver free agency market moving forward. So then you start getting nervous with your T. Higgins of the world and the Tyler Boyd re-ups, and wondering if you can keep all these guys or if you're just going to have to keep loading that room up.
Well, they can't keep all of them. I mean, I don't see any scenario. I mean, I guess if anything's possible, you're probably going to see Tyler Boyd playing out this contract and that being it. I mean, just when you look at the way they typically have handled it, I had this in notes today about Third, they're just not real interested in third contracts. They're not going to sit here and make the Carlos Geno mistakes anymore, and not under this regime, at least. And so what happened to Boyd? I mean, you know, he's here through 23. You got two more seasons of him, and he's going to be approaching his 30s at that point, too. So Higgins and Chase's deals are going to be so big. You certainly could see them prioritizing those. But, I mean, at a certain point, there's a chance that you're having to use one of your weapons, whether it be a franchise tag or something like that, when you get into those, because you're going to be paying Burrow $50 million or whatever. So that's math for down the line. You can reload. There's no reason not to. And they need the depth. I mean, this is how you do it. You use these middle to late round picks, and you try to find Marvin Jones. You try to find Mohamed Sanu. You try to, and these, you know, there's just so many receivers out there and so many guys that come up. They'll have time to develop in the background. There's no pressure. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't kill you. But they are there. And if they do start playing well, then in the future you have options. And you're going to need that. Like, the odds that all three of these guys play damn near every game again is just – it's so unlikely. They were so lucky to have that last year. They do need more depth at that receiver position, particularly with return ability. Something we know that they're interested in. I am excited. We are going to be deep into draft. I'm excited to dive much deeper into the draft stuff now that we've kind of completed this. That's a great place for us to start, John. Appreciate it. Let's move on to the next question, and let's go and bring Jared R. up onto the stage. Jared, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Like last talker said, I appreciate all your coverage. It's been awesome. I don't live in Cincinnati, so being in New England has kind of been tough seeing the success of the Patriots throughout the years. But I appreciate you guys. And I just had a quick question. So you were talking about them going corner at the end of the first round. But do you see them going into the free agent market at all regarding like cornerback two? I know they did signed Eli Apple to the $4 million deal, but I didn't know if they had the cap space to go after another depth guy or someone maybe a little bit better than Apple. I know that we still have to kind of figure out the logistics of the Collins contract, but I just wanted to see your guys' thoughts on that. I know that there was a Gilmore rumor out there. I don't necessarily buy that, but just wanted to see what you guys thought.
No, I appreciate the question, Jared. It's a good one. I mean, I don't see them going. I mean, the Gilmore thing, I saw that. I didn't even really comment on it because I'd not heard anything remotely about that from anybody. And I kind of saw where it came from. And I don't, you know, there was a lot of stuff thrown against the wall there. And that's fine. I mean, they maybe were in talking to people. I as like, okay, what do we do if maybe Collins falls through or whatever? Do we want to reallocate that money on defense? Maybe they were investigating that and being used as part of a, you know, ploy by an agent to say, oh, look at all these other teams. I don't know. I never, ever got an impression during this, between the end of the Super Bowl till this week, that they were going to have interest in spending big money in the cornerback spot. If there was anything they were looking at, it was going to be at, okay, they would go as far as trying to replicate what they found with Cheeto last year, but more than likely trying to kind of find this year's Eli Apple too, and then a draft pick. And you just let them all go in there. They're not afraid to load that room. They have historically, and they did last year. So you're looking at, they haven't done, they made the Trey Waynes release official yet. But then when that happens, you know, they'll drop, you know, another 10-9 in, so another $11 million when this thing, I mean, they're pretty close to where they like to get, where I don't know that you're going to see any big splashes, but there could be something minor. I think you'll see them trying to take advantage of the bargain bin here, in that, you know, this is where that third and second wave guys that are stunned that they're still around, thought they were going to get picked up, maybe some names that you heard of, and forced to take a prove it deal for less than they thought. And the Bengals, and they say, well, maybe I can latch on to a winner and make something happen. I mean, that's what you would see. I really do not anticipate anything major. And a guy like Gilmore would certainly be considered that.
Yeah, the bargain bin is, have you ever been at a Walmart or a Target or somewhere and you're looking through the DVD bargain bin and you see a movie like, what's that doing in there? That's a great movie. It feels like that could happen with Corner, because there's still a lot of guys out there, and a lot of them are on the wrong side of 30, but they're guys that are proven in the league, and it's just a case. Most of the teams have spent. There's still some teams out there with cap space, but after week one of free agency, that money really starts drying up, and there's going to be a lot of guys, a lot of corners in particular, standing there waiting to what happened. And if Paul's right, they don't have the money to go make a big splash, but you could get a guy at a relatively cheap amount, whether it's a 1 year prove it deal or he's at the end of his rope, possibly let's just take a flyer on him. You could bring in a veteran guy that who does end up being cornerback too. But as far as a Gilmore, I mean, he's both, he's expensive and he's on the wrong side of 30. And that's never felt like a fit, but there's still quite a few interesting names out there on the cornerback market. That's going to be interesting to watch how that goes this week as the money starts drying up for everybody.
No doubt about that. I mean, a guy like Joe Hayden, who we mentioned a lot in the lead up, a veteran who's been around, but man, if he's in the mix with him and Apple and a top draft pick, you know, you love your depth there and you feel like that's something that you, but I'm not saying that would happen, but I mean, those are the types of names you've heard of that maybe wouldn't cost as much, that would be around in a second, third wave that could come in and maybe want to come chase a ring with Joe Burrow. And that can make a difference, or play with Mike Hilton again, which is, you know, something that you see these connections of free agents of the past now that have had success here that would vouch for the place and try to bring people along with them.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's bring Ben D up onto the stage. Ben, how you doing? Sorry, guys.
My day job is politics, and I have to watch these like SCOTUS hearings.
Condolences.
Good. much rather be here. I guess I'm curious as to like a more long term question. You guys got a little bit into yesterday how these investments in the O line sort of demonstrate from the team to Joe Burrow that, you know, they're willing to make the investment in him and in succeeding now. So I'm just curious for a little bit more about what you might expect in terms of how this investment and, you know, success this season and next season are going to inform, like just how big his contract is, you know, like how long it is? Like what does this early free agency period tell you more specifically, I guess, about what the future of Burrow being here?
Well, I think it kind of takes that variable out of they're going to have to overpay to keep him. I think, you know, it's going to be a crazy number no matter what, or $50 million a year, somewhere around there. Who knows? But this commitment this year feels like they are going to be able to keep Joe Burrow here. And they always can. They can use their fifth year option. They want to get the extension done next offseason. And it's not like he's going to hold them over a barrel and say, you know, you haven't done enough. I'm going to ride this out. I'm going to see what I can get on the open market in year six. It's this, I think, was a big step in making a commitment to Joe Burrow that they are going to do whatever it takes to put him in the best position to succeed and survive. So I think from that standpoint, it's that's where you're looking, where it's not where the Bengals are going to have to go throw some sort of crazy money to entice him to stay. I think Joe Burrow is going to want to be here long term.
I agree. I think it's the latest example of them showing Burrow that they'll do whatever it takes for him to succeed and for him to want to be here and believe that his voice matters, that he's important, that he's part of the process, that they're listening to him and that they're all in this together, and that plays with him, that matters. And, you know, I mean, it's like, well, between spending on guard, between bringing Jamar Chase in, and between, you know, now here's Collins and going the extra mile for that, and just finding ways to make all this work. And it doesn't hurt when you've gotten to a Super Bowl here. It's the latest thing of saying this is our place. We're here for you. We're all going to be in this together with you. You're never going to feel on the outside here. You're never going to feel like some of these things that you've heard from Aaron Rodgers, or the frustrations that Deshaun Watson had, or any of these quarterbacks that have gone through these very public, Russell Wilson, frustrations of not feeling connected with the coach, not feeling connected with the front office, not feeling like you can play your game the way you want to. They clearly are here for the Joe Burrow ride organizationally and willing to go whatever manner they have to go to do that. And this was the latest indication of that. And that makes it all that much easier to just knock it out next year when they put the big contract on the table. And I don't think there's any concern that won't be something that gets done and makes everybody happy when that goes down. Now, you never know, but there's one thing that we know from around here, and that is this team has never been afraid to pay the quarterback.
Yep.
They just haven't. And they weren't afraid with Carson. They weren't afraid with Andy. And those are some two pretty big time recent examples. And they certainly, coming off Super Bowl run and all the fever that surrounds this team, would not feel any less willing to do it with this guy. So I fully expect him to become the richest quarterback in football and him to happily sign here. And, you know, the details on that will all be a part of next offseason. But, you know, I don't think anybody anticipates it being a major issue. So we shall see. Let's keep it rolling here. Let's go next, and I'll bring
Brothers Comics.
Let's bring him up on stage now. Is it? I want to immediately go to Bro, but I don't know. It's a Bro. Is it Brot Has Comics P, or is it Bro the Comics? I'm just
no. What we got? It's Brothers Comics, but thank you for pulling me up. My question is, who do you think becomes the kind of the locker room leader, vocal leader / cheerleader now that CJ is gone? He leads the Who Day chants. He was keeping everybody up, you know, before the game and all that. Who do you think takes over that role now that he's gone?
Yeah, that's a good question. I could see Tyler Boyd getting into that type of role. You know, maybe it's Joe Mixon. He is excitable by actions. He's not necessarily the vocal guy in that regard, but maybe now that there's a vacancy there, he would step into that. Sam Hubbard's never been that kind of guy, but you know, he's got it in him. He's got that personality where people want to follow him. I don't know. It'll have to happen organically. It's a really good question. It's not something I had thought about, but I don't see Burrow being that way. He's more understated, lead by example. He'll say something when it needs to be said, but he's not going to be the rah-rah guy. I don't know, Paul, do you have a leading candidate in that regard?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, those things do happen kind of organically, and there were different guys that did that over the course of last season. It was never until really the stretch run towards the end, always, you know, it became CJ. And that's just kind of his personality. Everybody's comfortable with him. He's the one guy that really connects the most across the entire locker room. And Mike Hilton, I mean, is probably somebody who I think would fit that. And again, like, you don't need it to be like, okay, you're going to be the bring up guy. And then you're going to, I think these things you win and it just happens and people start finding their niche and their role in it. They have a really strong core leadership, some more vocal than others. A lot of quiet worker guys in the Burrow Hubbard mold and some much louder, energetic. I mean, to me, Mixon, you know, he'll get up there and just say stuff and it's great. And that's kind of the point, you know? And so I think he's the most obvious, but I don't know how much it matters. To me, it's much more about the people that are so good at crossing the locker room. It's just, we talked about it so much last year about how that was such a difference where in the past, everything was so clicky. It was so truncated and you're like, okay, here's the defensive line. They're their people and this other side is their people and they're pointing fingers and all that. It's just guys like CJ help bring those walls down. And I think everybody was in the room and saw that last year. And you've got a lot of people like, I don't think it'll be impossible to pick it up where he left it off. There's plenty of guys that can do it, but it'll be noticeable. It'll take time and it'll have to happen organically. Who knows? It could be one of the free agents they brought it. You just never know how that stuff's going to happen. But I do think there's a good core leadership there that can pick it up. Let's keep rolling. Let's go to Timothy M and bring Timothy up on the stage. What's going on?
Can you hear me?
Sure. Yes. Can. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm going to ask sort of a stupid question that everybody's going to be against. I know you guys talked about Trey Waynes. He was a good cornerback. Do you see any scenario where he's still on contract, where they hang on to him, let him get a full training camp, and let him play?
No.
And see what they got.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's $11 million. They will need to use. And I mean that the relationship clearly was unsalvageable when the guy couldn't even catch the field during the playoff stretch and they were getting short on corners at the time. I mean, obviously there, I mean, I don't think he wanted to be here maybe ever,
okay.
but you know, for that cost and what they're going to do with that money. And they've already spent in a lot of ways that money the way they wanted to. There's no way. I mean, people keep asking why have they not let him go yet. I don't know the details on the timing of why they would or wouldn't, why they would wait outside of, I don't know if there's a vindictive nature to it. I mean,
so really, you guys are around that. You guys are around that. Do you think that, Eli Apple actually really beat him out?
Yeah. I mean, they were trying to win the Super Bowl, and they never wavered for a second on Eli Apple being the guy. I mean, you had the moment. I mean, Wayne's what? He played in Denver, and he got mossed for a touchdown. And that was it. They never even gave him a chance after that. And Apple was playing well, and he did play well. And they kept loving him up, and he kept playing well. he clearly beat him out. The thing with Waynes was the fact that he was never even a part of the conversation, even as a backup or a third or a fourth string at any point down the stretch. And he was healthy at that point. So, I mean, that's more
what it was about. What a waste of money.
Yeah, when he got beat in that Denver game, it was Trey Flowers they replaced him with. Eli was already in the game. So that showed you right there. He didn't come back on the field after giving up that touchdown in Denver. And that was really the end for him as far as a cornerback. He had a couple special team snaps. But that tells you right there what their thought process was, if they were willing to go with Trey Flowers the rest of that game as opposed to the guy they're paying all that money to.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for the question, Timothy. Really appreciate it. All right. Let's keep it rolling. Bring Alexander B up onto the stage. Alex, how are we doing?
Good. I was wondering if you guys think that Marcus Williams' deal in Baltimore is a good guideline for Jesse Bates' possible extension.
Yeah. I mean,
Jesse probably doesn't. Yeah. Jesse, I think, wants more.
Yeah, it's a hard one to say. I mean, Jesse would want to see more than I don't know. It's hard to say exactly. All I know is this. I think the time for that deal to get done passed. You know, I think that they looked at it as, hey, we're going to give this a real effort here. And what we really see is our value. And we want this to be the time. If not, then we'll go forward. I just, you know, we talked about all the money that they're going to have to spend next year. And, you know, and they're going to have Higgins and Wilson and Burrow to pay, you know, and they're going to draft a safety this year. And if that guy is playing well, they can maybe that's how they move on. But I think it's forced them to consider everything. And Jesse has the right to do that, to bet on himself, to get himself into the market. And good on him, and use whatever leverage you can whenever you have it. But from a Bengals perspective, I think they feel like this was our big effort. We'll see what's left come time. But maybe it gets done. Maybe it gets done in July. I just feel like they viewed it as that was really the time for this thing to happen. And it didn't. And they're all going to kind of go forward their own way. Maybe they look at the Williams thing and they say, here, let's drop this on the table and everyone comes in agreement. But I don't know. It feels like that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Now that this first week of free agency is over, it feels like that leverage is flipped. And now the Bengals hold it because Jesse has to decide, do I want to stand firm on the deal, the numbers that he's been asking for, or does he want to roll the dice and play another season banking on the fact that he won't get hurt, that it won't affect his earning potential down the road. Maybe he sees the proverbial light and is willing to come down on his asking price some to try to get something done before July. But it had, like Paul said, that he had the leverage before and now it is completely flipped. It's the Bengals in the power position and Jesse's got a hard decision to make about how much he's going to participate in voluntary stuff. And that's, he talked about how much it affected him last year playing and not having the deal. It's really going to be something he's going to have to battle mentally this year, knowing that any one play could really derail his chance to get that huge payday.
No doubt. I want to pull a question from the chat because I think it's a good one. And that is there anyone else from Ryan C? Is there anyone else in Cincinnati who could get away with wearing sweatpants into the precinct? And but don't forget the Looney Tunes sweatshirt. Now, let's also give that its proper, you know, due. Is there anyone else in the world at this point that could? I mean, it's just, I guess you just reach a certain point, you have a certain regional status, and he's just so unique that Jay, you could wear sweatpants into an Arby's.
I think it's mandatory. You can't go in there dressed up. I mean, is there anybody else in Cincinnati that would even attempt or even think to wear sweatpants into the precinct? And the other thing is,
let's try that. That should be the new thing. Everyone, like, next time, if anybody goes and makes a reservation, try wearing sweatpants and seeing if they'll seat you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, but knowing Joe Burrow's taste, I mean, there's probably a good chance those sweatpants cost more than any pair of pants I own.
Oh man, I love it. I love. It's like, you know, we go back and these clips have popped up for whether it's some highlight thing or just an old tweet or something, whatever it is. And you know, I just go back to after the Baltimore game, and he's got the Krusty Krab and the Santa hat on, and it's just like over the course of the year, you just forget how ridiculous, how it would just run the gamut, and it's just, you know, yeah, there is definitely nobody else in the city. That's my charge to you guys. If anybody goes to the precinct, you know, have your real clothes in the car so you don't lose your reservation and not get to eat. But try going in with sweatpants and a Looney Tunes sweatshirt on, and just see. See how it turns out for you. Let us know. Report back, please. We'd love to hear more.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, let's get a couple more. I do see Hawaii is on the line to close us out, so we'll get to Natasha in a second. Let's bring Keith A. Up on the stage here for a question. Hey, Keith, how's it going?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
sure can.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I just want to say how awesome it is that we're having this conversation and the Bengals are actually relevant. So that's incredible. I want to go back to the cornerback conversation. I'm wondering if they're actually looking at any additional edge help in free agency, because I think there's a close tie to the cornerback situation. Your cornerbacks are a lot better when you're getting to the quarterback. And I remember the Raiders game and some of the other games in the playoffs, watching even Matt Stafford just sitting back there with all the time in the world to actually find open receivers. And I'm just wondering if maybe we should be looking at edge help as well. And that'll make Cheeto and Eli look more like top-notch 1 and 2 cornerbacks in the league.
You know, there's quality guys out there on the edge, but you're not going to get some of these guys that are there, Zadarius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney, Melvin Ingram, those guys, you're not getting them at a bargain basement price. So I mean, maybe there is a guy out there that's kind of left holding the bag at the end of this. It'd be a much lesser name and somebody they want to roll the dice with. But I think you're far more likely to find a bargain at the cornerback position, and edge would be something that would be more likely to address in the draft.
Yeah, there's two parts to this. I mean, I think we've seen them make some moves in. No, I mean, obviously we saw B.J. Hill for the 3-10 being traded for a quick season. We've seen them make moves. You know, the Mike Daniels year in summer, or you know, I'd be interested to see. I think they're going to be really closely looking at what Joseph Osai looks like when he comes back and they get in OTAs and all that stuff. And I know we will be too, because there's kind of a lot of stock currently being put in him being a beast, because you're right. I mean, they don't have a lot of backup there. So I think they're interested. I think they're looking into that. And I think that we'll see some kind of veteran edge probably placed into that conversation at some point. They also have, we don't know what the hell Wyatt Hubert is. I mean, you have a guy like Khalid Kareem who's still hanging around and trying to develop. I mean, there's people there, but you're right. I wouldn't be stunned to see some kind of a veteran addition, but really late in the process to get him back. They're aware of it. I know they're aware of it, and it's on the radar. It's just a matter of maybe they need to see what the draft shows them first before they go bringing somebody else in and just focus on that right now. But it's definitely, again, it falls into that in play at the top of the draft for sure, because you just can't have enough of those guys. You can't have enough corners. You can't have enough for edge rushers. You gotta, and that's how you win games. Let's do it. Let's go to the last question as we always do. Oh, like clockwork, like the rising tide. Every single time we do a live room, Natasha B in Hawaii.
Oh, there it is. I hear it.
I hear it. How are you, Natasha?
I am wonderful. Great to hear you guys again. Excited to be at a live room. So
the Hawaii sounds great. I'm sure everything's fantastic out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'll send you guys a picture.
Please do.
So Brothers Comics kind of took my question because I was really bummed about TJ. Still trying to wrap my head around him picking the Jets. But I'm going to pivot and just try to have some fun here. So my first question is, who becomes the best interview now that TJ is gone? And then bold predictions, draft style, just get crazy. My bold prediction is they trade up into the top 10, draft Stingley, and full circle, fill the cornerback void, and LSU North is a real thing. What do you think would be the most fun thing to happen on draft day?
I love it, Natasha. That is awesome. I'm here to play the game, be bold, and Derek Stingley would undeniably be the ideal scenario if he found some way to slip. I even in a bold world, I have a hard time predicting them going up.
No,
I don't know that I see that. I don't know. Where would your bold move, BJ?
I don't know if how bold it would be because it's kind of their MO, but trading back multiple times, maybe trading back from 31. We sit there all night waiting for them to make a pick. And right before they go on the clock, they trade back and don't end up picking anybody on Thursday. And then maybe they do it again on Friday night with the next to last pick. Well, that wouldn't work because there's comp picks, but I could see them doing multiple trade backs if they have a number of guys that they like that would still be in range depending on how far back they go. Again, that's not super bold because they have done it, but I haven't seen them do multiple trade backs from high rounds in the past. So I'll say that trade back out of the first and trade back out of the second or third.
Yeah, maybe end up with what? How many day three picks should we say? Maybe end up with, I don't know, six day three picks or something where you just, we've heard a lot about the draft too being pinpointed as, look, keep an eye on these, on this fourth round is a real sweet spot. And the Bengals have always loved the fourth round. If they feel like that's where the true value is, teams love coming up into 31. This might be the type of draft where they come up for a quarterback to try to get that fifth year option on. You move back again. You keep adding fours. Let's say bold prediction. They end up with four fourth round picks. That's my bold prediction on that one. And as far as players who takes over for best interview, I mean, that's a big one to try to fill in. I'll say a couple names. And just because it's been on my mind, I'm really excited to talk to Chidobe Awuzie about Nigeria. When he's been going around there, he went back to Africa, and I've talked to him in the past about this, and he is just one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And he went back with his family there, and I always love talking to Chido anyway, and he's been out kind of world traveling, so I'm excited about that. And another name to throw in there, I mentioned him earlier. I think Mike Hilton he's always got something up his sleeve. He's always interesting. He's Mr. Extend Jesse Bates at the end of And one of his, I just think, I think he's got a chance to really even grow more into his leader role for sure. You got one in your pocket, Jay?
Yeah, you know, I had to go out of town this weekend, so I missed the press conferences with the new offensive linemen. But I think those guys by nature are some of the most intelligent and insightful guys on a roster. And I love the idea. People might think it's crazy because of the Patriot way, but I love the idea of Ted Karras kind of the Catholic schoolgirl who's pent up and then goes to college and goes nuts. I can see him being this great interview guy coming from New England where they weren't really allowed to do that kind of stuff. And now he's more free to express himself and be open. So both him and Kappa, I think both could be really great interviews. And I just want to say too, I like Natasha. It's we've only been doing these for a few months and it's like, she's got the veteran move down because she doesn't jump on stage right away. She waits till the end so she's at the bottom so we can bring her on last. And even if she did jump on early, I think we would still save her to the last because it's just it's become a tradition.
It is a tradition. It's an honor. It's the best way to go out. And for everyone who attended Catholic school, it's at Jay Morrison ATH on Twitter if you want to share your thoughts. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening and coming to the live room. Again, we'll be back onto a regular podcast schedule here as we get going now, and all the draft stuff that you're used to from us, we're plotting out and starting to execute that plan, and really excited about digging into this draft with everybody. So you know, keep it locked here. You know, we'll have all kinds of special stuff in the works for you on that. So thanks, everybody, for coming in. We will talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.